Good morning, man. Well, as sometimes happens, a little bit of technology glitching trips a guy up and then things don't go as planned. So rather than listening to Scott's presentation for the morning, I'm just going to do a recap of some of the high points, the highlights of the morning's presentation. So we're in our final week of a 10-week series based on the book by Pat Morley. The title of the book, How God Makes Men. Title of this chapter is The Principle of Unconditional Surrender. The focal man for the morning, the man who is featured in this morning's chapter, is the Apostle Paul. So Morley explores some of the ideas about Saul, who became Paul, and brings in the idea of surrender, and that it was only in the process of surrendering his life that Saul was able to become the person that we know as Paul. So, to veer off course a little bit, we might even say it this way. Were it not for the fact that the man named Saul, who became Paul, chose to surrender his life fully to Christ, were it not for that, we would probably never have heard of Saul. You and I today would go through life, have no knowledge of Saul. The profound principle here is this, that because Saul surrendered, because Paul yielded to the call of Christ in his life, and because Paul yielded again and again throughout his life to what God asked him to do, today we're very familiar with the life of Paul. As a matter of fact, if you study a little bit in Paul's life, you know that he started out as an articulate and zealous spokesperson. So zealous, even as a new follower of Christ, that he angered people almost wherever he went. As a matter of fact, it was his firm commitment that in the end placed him in confines, placed him in prison, and really it's because of that surrender to that call of God on his life that we are familiar with Paul. Because had Paul not become the writer of great letters that he became while he was imprisoned, and had he not developed that practice of writing letters to communicate with the various churches that he had started, we would probably never know much of the life of Paul. He might have been a man of a quality, let's say, like the Apostle John, or perhaps that we know some of, or perhaps more like one of the lesser known apostles that we know very little of. A few incidental mentions here and there. But in fact, we know so much about the life of Paul because Paul did surrender his life to the call of Christ. But, you know, when you and I hear the term surrender, let's just be honest, it's not very appealing. Who wants to surrender? Surrender sounds like losing. Surrender sounds like giving up. And we want more, not less. We want to win, not to lose. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to win. There's nothing wrong with not wanting to lose. Frankly, there's nothing wrong inherently with wanting more and not less. But here's the thing that God knows about us that sometimes we don't know about ourselves. What God asks us to surrender, in the end, are the things that we craved, that we thought would make us happy, and we don't know until after we get them that they won't bring us happiness. Have you been there? I mean, I know I have, and it's the story of many men. Not identical stories, but they have this commonality about them. That a man works for 10 or 20 or 30 years in the pursuit of what he'd always wanted, and when he gets that, when he gets everything that he wanted, he can't understand why he's not happy. Well, this thing God knows about us, that sometimes the things that we pursue are not the things that are going to make us happy, and we don't discover that very often until after we have them and they don't satisfy. And it's not that there's anything wrong with the stuff that we want, necessarily. It's just that the stuff that we think we want, and when I say stuff, I mean positions, I mean affluence, I mean the good life, you know, the beach home, the extra toys and all that. We think we want that, and we're not saying anything is wrong with that. But we as human beings do not ultimately find satisfaction that is of a lasting quality in those things. You know, the more we get, the more we want. The more that we get a taste of things, the more we pursue. It's sort of like the old Lay's potato chip gag. You know, you try to eat just one. Well, it's that way with stuff. You get a little stuff, and pretty soon, what? That just whets your appetite for more stuff. And so we go off on a tear. And a lot of us have been there in life. And what God calls us to is something different. He says, I would like you to lay down your pursuits, if you're willing. I would like you to lay down even some of your fondest hopes and goals and dreams, and I would like you to live your life toward my direction, toward my call in your life, toward the things that I would ask you to go into. And here is the amazing thing, and it's not as if we can trick God into getting what we really want by doing His will. Not so. But what we find is that as we move toward the will of God in our lives, the call of God in our lives, which very often will require that we lay down our own goals and hopes for life, we find that there is a great deal of lasting satisfaction and real meaning and significance that we carry with us as we live that life. And we can say that quite obviously, if God is the author of life, if God is the creator of life, and if God is the creator not only of biological life, but if God is the founder, the author, the creator of spiritual life that resides within us, then probably God has a very good idea what it will take for each of us to find meaning and a lasting significance. Well, that's the good news about surrender. The good news is that when we are willing to lay down our lives, there can be a sense of satisfaction, of joy, even in the face of adversity, of meaning and purpose, even while we face difficulty, that we obtain from that personal surrender. But it wouldn't be a fair treatment of the topic if we didn't also deal with the other side of the same coin, which is that there are seasons of difficulty and challenge that each of us may be called to walk through, which make us question our own sanity for having chosen this surrendered life. I mean, we think of phrases or scripture verses such as the fact that Christ acted on our behalf based not on the pain that He was going to experience, but on the joy that was set before Him on the other side of the cross. And we say, yeah, I want that joy. But sometimes going into something, we minimize or de-emphasize the long seasons of pain and difficulty. We celebrate the moments when Paul penned inspirational and tremendous insights that are captured for us in the Scripture. We say, oh, I'd like to be a Paul. But what one of us would want to endure the lashings and the hardship and the stonings and the other privations that Paul endured? You see, while we are going through some of the things that God may call us to go through, it can be very difficult. As we discussed in the study on Saturday morning, there was a drastic difference between the life of Christ and the life of Job. You see, God permitted Job to go through a season of suffering. But Job was clueless as to why or even how long. As Job sat there in his ash heap and took this shard of pottery and scraped the sores on his skin every day, he didn't know how many days he was going to have to do that or if it would ever end. And he didn't even understand why. And all Job was called to in that moment was to be true to God and not deny God, not denounce God, but to cling to and remain faithful to God. And he did. He did. But he didn't know how long that would last. The only difference between he and Jesus is Jesus had to endure probably immensely more agony and torture. Yeah, it's hard to measure suffering. It's hard to put it on a scale. When you get to the 9.999%, it's hard to tell the difference between 9.999 and 9.99999. It's just hard to tell that. So we can't compare, in a human experience sense, the suffering of Job and the suffering of Jesus, although we have to naturally assume that Jesus suffered immensely more and suffered in his spiritual man even immensely more. But the difference, the key difference, is that Jesus understood why he was suffering. And Jesus had complete confidence in the fact that there was a good outcome that would await him on the other side. But let's be very clear about this. That did not in any way minimize the great pain, the great suffering, and the great spiritual anguish that Jesus had to go through. And that meant is something that Jesus himself was very clear and outspoken about to his own followers. He never promised any of those who followed him an easy life. Never. It's often said of men that they rise to challenge, that they thrive on challenge. But it's equally true that many men run from challenge. It's equally true that many men falter in their courage, falter in their resolve, and run, or hide, or simply wither and dissolve under hardship and crisis. What Jesus calls each of us to, who are willing to surrender, is to trust him that he will walk with us and give us the strength that we need a day at a time while we endure the things that he asks us to endure in the pursuit of the good things that he's doing through us and with us. And we may never see everything that is done through our lives and with our lives for the glory of the kingdom which incidentally we share. That is the hope that is available to us. That is the promise that comes to us, the same as it did to Jesus. That when we endure these seasons, we are enduring them not because we are fools, not because we're naive, not because we've squandered the one and only life that we're going to ever get, but instead that we are doing these things, following in the footsteps of Christ, picking up our individual personal crosses, because we too have a confidence that there is a good on the other side of this, even if it's years, perhaps decades, perhaps, and for some this is true, perhaps we may not see any of the good until we move into that next phase of life that we call eternity. And so guys, surrender is not foolishness. Surrender is ultimately not loss. Surrender is ultimately stepping into the best reality that we can obtain. But it is knowing that sometimes the gateway and the pathway that we will have to walk for a while may be filled with difficulty. And it's why we need each other. It's why we need each other to remind each other at the moments when any one of us would be tempted to quit, stand strong for the hope that's set before you. So guys, that really is the wrap-up, the short explanation of the longer lesson on how personal surrender is part of what every disciple and follower of Christ is called to, and how personal surrender actually, contradictory to what it would seem like, is actually the pathway that leads to personal satisfaction, personal significance, and personal meaning in life. Next week, we're going to look at how do we apply these 10 weeks of material. So I hope you'll join us again next week when we look at the topic, it's not what you know, but instead it's what you do with what you know that really matters. See you then, guys.